Even though you have been greeted many times for Chinese New Year, I still want to extend my greeting to everybody today.
虽然大家已经恭喜了很多次了哈，但是我仍然要再次的跟大家祝贺新年快乐。
When I picked my preaching days last month, I had no idea today is Chinese New Year until my wife noticed it and told me so.
那么上次我呢，决定要布道的时候呢，我并不知道说今天会是农历新年，直到我太太提醒我。
Having to work on a sermon at the time of Chinese New Year certainly is stressful, but I feel honored to deliver God's message on New Year's Day to His people.
那么要在农历新年来讲道呢，其实是有压力的哈，但是我感到也很荣幸能够在年初一来传讲神的信息。
God reminded 3 years ago on January 26, 2020, on the second day of Chinese New Year, I also preached a sermon titled Shekinah Glory.
那么神让我在准备的时候想起三年前1月26号，就是2020年农历初二那天呢，我也讲了一篇道，题目是荣耀同在。
Today's message happened to be about God's glory as well. What a coincidence!
那么今天的讯息同样是关于神的荣耀，多么的巧合。
This is the sermon I preached 3 years ago, the kind of glory.
那么三年前我谈的呢，就是神的荣耀。
And there was a firework on New Year's Day in the Sinai wilderness 3,500 years ago.
那么3500年前呢，在西乃山的旷野呢，有一个庆祝新年的活动诞生了。
It wasn't really a New Year celebration. It was also a grand opening ceremony.
那么那一天不光只是一个庆祝新年活动，也是一个伟大事件的序幕拉开了。
God told Moses, set up the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting on the first day of the first month of the year.
那么神那个时候告诉摩西呢，要在正月初一的时候要立起帐幕。
During that grand opening event, the tabernacle was so filled with God's glory that no one could enter.
那么在那次的盛大开幕典礼当中呢，神的荣耀充满了会幕，以至于没有人能够进入。
Unfortunately, that earthly glory didn't last very long. The people drifted away from God over time, and as a result, God's glory on earth departed from them and His temple.
那么很不幸的是，当日神在地上的荣耀并没有持续很长的时间。随着时间的消逝呢，神的子民逐渐的离弃了神，结果神在地上的荣耀也离开了他的子民跟他的圣所。
Today we want to talk about a far greater glory of God displayed in heaven continuously throughout the ages, and this glory does not fade away with time.
那么今天我们要说的是神历世历代在天上彰显他更大的荣耀，而且这个荣耀不会随着时间减弱而消失。
Psalm 19 verse 1 tells us, the heaven declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hand.
那么诗篇19篇的第一节告诉我们说，诸天述说神的荣耀，迥昌传扬他手的作为。
Psalm 19 is about God's revelation to mankind.
那么诗篇19篇是关于神对人类的启示。
Revelation is God's self-disclosure about Himself, His attributes, and what is in His mind and His plan.
那么所谓的启示就是神的自我揭露、披露，把他的属性、他的心意跟他的计划揭示给人类知道。神透过言语启示他自己。
Yeah, God revealed Himself through speeches. The Bible, particularly Psalm 19, tells us there are two ways God revealed or speak to man: general revelation and special revelation.
那么诗篇十九篇呢，告诉我们神会用两种方式向人做启示，一种呢就是一般的启示，另外是特殊的启示。
What are the differences? Let us do a comparison.
那么这两种启示有什么差别呢？让我们在这边做个比较。
In general revelation, God revealed himself as the creator and the judge.
那么在普通的启示当中呢，神会揭露他自己是创造者，也是审判者。
In special revelation, God revealed himself as the truth and the redeemer.
那么在特别的启示当中，神会让我们看见他自己是真理，是救赎主。
In general revelation, God revealed himself in nature, in history, his sovereignty, and man's conscience.
那么在普通的启示当中，神会启示他自己，借着大自然，在历史，在他的主权或人的良心当中。
Whereas in special revelation, God revealed himself in the scriptures, in prophecies, in miracles, and in Jesus Christ, as well as in man's experience.
那么在特殊启示当中，神启示他自己在圣经的话语，在预言，或是在神迹中，在耶稣基督的身上，或是在个人的经历里面。
In general revelation, God speaks to the entire humanity.
那么普通启示是向所有的人类讲话。
But in special revelation, he speaks to a chosen group.
但是呢，特别启示呢，则是向被拣选跟蒙召的一群人说话。
In general revelation, God speaks through his creation world.
那么在普通启示里呢，神是透过神的创造来说话。
In special revelation, God speaks through His word.
那所谓的特殊启示是神透过自己的道，他的话语来说话。
In general revelation, God speaks through silent language.
那么在普通启示里呢，神是借着无声的言语来启示。
And in special revelation, He speaks through the Bible and the incarnated word.Which is Jesus Christ.
那么在特别的启示当中，神是借着圣经还有道成肉身的基督来启示。
In general revelation, God made known his power and divinity.
在普通启示当中，神让人知道他的大能和神性。
In special revelation, he made known his attributes and the saving grace of him.
但在特别的启示当中呢，他让人类知道他的属性和他的救恩。
In general revelation is a continued revelation.
那么普通启示当中，神是不断的启示。
But special revelation has been completed in redemptive history.
但是特别的启示呢，是在救恩的历史当中里边已经完成了。
In general revelation, God supplied the needs of all forms of life.
在普通启示当中，神供应了一切活着的生灵他们生存的需要。
In special revelation, He supplied the knowledge and the grace of redemption for man.
但在特殊的启示当中，神供应人类救恩的知识跟恩典。
So much for that.
这些就是一个总概要总结。
Now let me give you a very brief outline of Psalm 19.
那么我现在把大家告诉大家诗篇十九篇的一个总简要的归类。
Yeah, very simple. Okay, from verse 1 to 6 is God's general revelation.
很简单，从诗篇十九篇的1到6节是属于神的普通启示。
And verse 7 to 11 is God's special revelation.
但从第七节到十一节开始，就是神的特殊启示。
And then the last three verses, 12 to 14, is our proper response to God's revelation.
那么从12到14节，就是我们对人类对神应该有的正确的回应。
Psalm 19:1 to 6 tells us that God speaks to us.Through the nature in silent speeches.
诗篇第十九篇一到六节呢，告诉我们神借着大自然向我们讲话，向我们发出的是无声的言语。
The universe and nature is witnessing the existence of its creator, his wisdom, intelligent design, and his great power in keeping the operation of this huge and complex.Universe in motion continuously.
那么整个宇宙和大自然都在见证造物主的存在，他精心和充满智慧的设计， 并长久不断地用他的大能掌管着庞大复杂宇宙的运作。
Well, when I meditate on this, I was really amazed. You know, when we put fuel into our car, it run maybe 300 miles, 400 miles, and then it use up and stop.
我呢非常觉得真的是从心里发出奇妙的赞叹啊！当你譬如帮你的车加油的时候，它可能可以跑个300到500英里，然后就停了。
This universe, all the heavenly body are spinning and revolving, and for billions of years, and they have not run out of fuel. They don't need fuel, and they don't use battery.
那么呢，这个伟大的天体呢，却是不停在运转，然后在彼此的在轨道上绕行啊。然后从来不停止，可以这样子不停的百万年、亿万年的转，然后也不需要加油，不需要电池。
Isn't this amazing?
这难道不是一个伟大、令人赞叹的现象吗？
Romans 1:19-20 tells us the same thing. It says, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them."
那么罗马书第一章19-21也同样的告诉我们说，神的事情人所能知道的原显明在人心里，因为神已经给他们显明。
Because God has made it plain to them, therefore they have no excuse.
那么自从造天因为神已经显明了，所以呢是没有办法可以找到推脱的理由的。
Many of us have been to the Air and Space Museum in Washington D.C.
我们很多人都去过这个在华府的太空博物馆。
But not many of you have been to the second newer Air and Space Museum in Arlington, in Virginia near Dallas Airport.
但呢，很少人去过在维吉尼亚杜勒斯机场附近第二个比较新的太空博物馆。
This museum displays all sorts of passenger and fighter planes.As well as the retired Discovery Space Shuttle.
那么这个博物馆展示了各种客机、战斗机，还有退役了的太空探索号太空梭。
This is the Space Shuttle displays in that museum.
那么这是在那个博物馆里展出的太空梭。
Far fewer people have visited God's Air and Space Museum in heaven, which have been on display ever since the creation.
那么更少的人曾经参观过神在宇宙中展示的太空博物馆，这个博物馆之创世以来就一直在开放展览。
The universe is an exhibition of God's masterpiece.
这个我们的天体呢，宇宙是神上帝的杰作。
The space shuttle is totally incomparable to the universe in terms of its size and sophistication.
那么无论是在规模跟复杂性方面，太空梭呢根本无法跟宇宙相提并论。
The admission to God's Space Museum is free, and the visit is extremely educational as well as beneficial.
那么去参观神的太空博物馆，入场券是免费的，而且参观这个博物馆是非常有教育意义跟有意义的。
With the help of Space Shuttle,And space telescope, let us now take a journey to God's Air and Space Museum.
那么现在让我们来借助太空梭跟太空望远镜，我们可以踏上上帝的太空博物馆之旅。
Take off into outer space, a journey into unknown worlds, worlds of vast dimensions and fascinating beauty. A journey in search of answers.What keeps the stars and planets on their orbits? Which laws govern their paths? Was it pure chance that brought them into being? Or is there a higher being behind it all? Today, we know more about the universe than ever before. But what answers can we give? Telescopes allow us to gaze into space.They provide us with information about galaxies that are light years away. Scientists estimate that there are well over 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and that the universe contains more than 100 billion galaxies. Telescopes like the Hubble Space Telescope have produced unique pictures, which are amazing. This so-called Whirlpool Galaxy is at a distance of 31 million light years. In its center, a black hole attracts stars and absorbs them. The Cartwheel Galaxy is not much larger than our own Milky Way. Its diameter extends over 120,000 light years, being 600 million light years away from our planet Earth. At 62 million light years, we witness another cosmic collision. Two galaxies attract each other due to their gravitational force. After this collision, the galaxies will have merged into a new galaxy. This is a model of our own galaxy, the Milky Way. It takes 100,000 years for light to travel from one end to the other. From the black hole in the center, two large spiral arms spin outwards. Our sun is located at a distance of about 20,000 light years from the center of the galaxy, in a sparsely populated side arm. This location turns out to be ideal for us to observe the universe far beyond the stars of our Milky Way. The universe with ever larger telescopes. The more we discover, the deeper we want to peer into the universe. So what is it that makes us do so?
We want to know who we are. And part of an understanding of our human identity is, of course, our origin.
There seems to be something implanted in us that makes us want to ask questions. There's something fundamentally restless about human nature. We realize there's something deeper, something beneath the surface, and we long to find out what it is. And because we're human beings, we want answers to deeper questions. And the big question is, are there any answers really there?
I sometimes wonder why anybody talks about anything else, because this is the most interesting topic there is. Where did we come from? How did we get here? What brought us into existence? What is our relationship to reality as a whole?
You look at the incredible diversity and complexity of life, and inevitably the question arises, what brought all this into existence? Was it simply chance and necessity, undirected natural forces? Is there something else going on? Is there a purpose, a plan, a design due to an intelligent cause?
It's really interesting to notice that the more we know about life and the more we know about biology, the more problems Darwinism has and the more design becomes apparent.
We have not the slightest chance of a chemical evolutionary origin for even the simplest of cells.
The discovery of the information-bearing properties of DNA and RNA is a fundamental challenge to all materialistic theories of the origin of life. Neo-Darwinism and its associated theories of chemical evolution and the like will not be able to survive the biology of the information age, the biology of the 21st century.
When I look at the evidence objectively, without ruling out the possibility of design, design just leaps up as the most likely explanation. And that's why I believe that it's true.
We can't explain these systems by natural law. And if we're searching for truth, and they are in fact designed, if we have to be design engineers to understand them, then I say, what's the problem? You know, you go where the data leads you. And the implications, yeah, they have profound metaphysical implications, but so be it.
For several centuries, we've been told that the universe
does not have us in mind. That is, that we exist in a small speck of dust in a very large universe, and that the universe is not designed for being like us. Our argument suggests something completely different. It suggests that the universe was intended, that the universe exists for a purpose.
The laws of physics are balanced on a razor's edge for life to occur. What you have is a universe that is not only finely tuned for life to occur, but also has a beautiful, elegant mathematical structure, and a structure such that we can discover that structure.
There's something about the universe that can't be simply explained just by the impersonal forces of nature and atoms colliding with atoms. And so you have to reach for something beyond the universe to try to account for it.
The founders of modern science, like Copernicus and Kepler and Galileo and Newton himself, believed that the universe was the product of a mind, that it was intelligible to beings like ourselves because the universe itself was the product of an intelligent being.
I was trained in journalism and law to respond to truth. I had to take a step of faith in the same direction that that evidence is flowing. You don't have to commit intellectual suicide to come to the conclusion that there is an intelligent designer. Because today, science is pointing more directly and more powerfully toward a creator than any other time in the history of the world.
I apologize that these two videos are in English only.
很抱歉, 这两个, 录像带都只有英文的, 没有中文。
I do have a very, video in Chinese. It's called 10 Undeniable Proofs of God's Existence, the Creator God's Intelligence.
那么我有一个中文的, 录像带呢, 这个可以给大家看的, 就是有10个上帝存在的铁证, 神创造万物的智慧。
But I don't think we have time for it. So I will send it through WhatsApp announcement, the link to this video, and you can watch it at home.
那么我想大家因为时间不够, 我会在这个WhatsApp的群组里面分享给大家, 大家可以回去在家里面看。
The universe revealed the following attributes of God.
那么我们从宇宙当中可以看到神以下的属性。
It revealed God's greatness and omnipresence.
它显示了神的伟大跟无所不在。
It reveals God's faithfulness.
显示了神的信实。
His omnipotence.
神的无所不能。
His glory.
神的荣耀。
And His love.
神的慈爱。
Let's look at His greatness.
那么让我们来看一下他的伟大。
How big is the universe?
那么宇宙到底有多大呢?
When it comes to the measurement of distances in universe, we have to use light years.
要讲到宇宙测量呢，我们只能够用光年来作为计算单位。
Because so it is so huge.
因为实在宇宙是庞大到无法测度。
Light travels 186,000 miles per second. You all know that.
大家都知道呢，那个光年就是每一秒钟可以行经186,000英里。So
one light year is equivalent to 9.46 trillion kilometer or 5.88 trillion miles.
那么一个光年的指的呢，就等于是9460亿的公里。 然后也等于是5,880亿的英里。
Well, this is a model of our solar system, but it's not drawn to scale.
那么这是我们的太阳系。
Well, here's the Earth, which is relatively close to the sun and not very big at all.
那么现在可以大家看到我们地球所在的位置是离太阳很近的，但又不是太近。Yeah,
even though it is relatively close to the sun, yet the distance between the sun and the earth is 93 million miles.
那么看起来好像很近，但是呢，太阳到地球的是9300万的那个英里。
Yeah. Well, but it only take 8 minutes for light to travel that distance, 93 million miles.
但如果是光的旅行的话，它只要8分钟就可以到达。
Now, the solar system from end to end, including those dust, small dust clouds that go around it, is 2 light years, or about 11.8 trillion miles.
那么整个太阳系包含这些宇宙尘呢？太阳系的直径大概是2光年，也就是118,000亿的英里。
On February 14, 1990, after traveling in space for 13 and a half years, the NASA spacecraft Voyager 1 was at the outer edge of the solar system.
那么1990年2月14号，经过了13年半在太空的飞行后，美国的宇航局旅行者一号太空船拍到了太阳系的外缘。
His camera looked back towards the sun and the earth and took a few pictures.
那么他的相机回头呢，向着太阳跟地球拍了几张照片。
And the earth showed up just as a tiny speck of blue dust in the space.
那么地球呢，在这张照片里看起来呢，就像是一粒蓝色的尘埃。
Yeah, this gives us an idea that our earth, which feels so big for us, is so small in the solar system.
这让我们明白呢，对我们来说看起来非常巨大的地球，其实在整个的宇宙太空中是多么的渺小。
Voyager 1 and looking back and took a picture of the Earth.
这就是太空船回头的时候所照的照片。
The solar system is also very small in the Milky Way galaxy.
那整个太阳系呢，在我们的银河系当中其实也是非常渺小的。
The solar system is within the Milky Way galaxy, and the galaxy contains billions of stars and thousands of individual solar systems.
那么我们的太阳系位在银河系里面，但是一个星系包含了数十亿个恒星跟数千个独立的太阳系。
The Milky Way, galaxy diameter is 105.7 light years across.
那么我们的这个银河系呢，它的直径大概是105,700光年。
It's equivalent to 6.2 times 10 to the power 17 miles.
那这个大家自己去计算到底有多远，一个数学公式在下面。
You know, after billion, the trillion, I think when you multiply it,by another thousand, it become quadrillion, and this is hundred times bigger than quadrillion.
那么大家可以看到，银河系在最下面统计，就它的直径呢，大概是6200兆的这个万亿的英里。
Well, okay, and then the Milky Way galaxy, which is so huge, is only one of about 200 billions of galaxies in the entire so-called observable universe.
那我刚刚讲到这么巨大的银河系呢，事实上在可观测的宇宙当中，也不过就是其中2000亿个星系中的一个而已。
Scientists estimate the observable universe to be about 9.3 billion light years across in diameter.
那么科学家估计可观测宇宙的直径呢，约为930亿的光年，那年龄是一千，我看是多少。
Okay, all these numbers are getting us crazy. And the observable universe is probably not the end of the story, because it could be only one of many universes out there. It's kind of like multiverse.
那么这些数字已经让我们头都要爆炸了哈，但是呢，可观测的宇宙呢，还不只是宇宙的结局，因为它可能只是众多宇宙当中的一个，这有一点像是一个多元宇宙。
Now you may ask me, why am I getting into all these astronomical numbers?
那你可能要问我，为什么要讲这些算不清楚的天文数字呢？
Well, the answer is because I want you to know our God is even bigger than all these frightening astronomical numbers.
因为我要让大家知道，我们的神比这些可怕的天文数字还要伟大，还要大。
Our God is not in the universe. The universe is in Him.
我们的神不是在宇宙中，而是整个宇宙在他里面。
He is not in time. Time is in Him.
我们的神也不在时间里，因为时间在他里面。
Our God is not bound by time and space. He created time and space.
我们的神不受时间跟空间限制，因为是他创造了时间跟空间。
Our God is omnipresent, meaning that He is everywhere simultaneously at the same time.
我们的神是无所不在的，这代表就是在同一个时间里，他可以在每一个地方。
And he's from everlasting to everlasting.
那他也是从亘古到永远的神。
Our God is great beyond our understanding.
我们的神是极其伟大，远超过我们的理解。
Psalm 19 used the sun to describe the glory of God.
那么诗篇十九篇用太阳来形容神的荣耀。
If you're familiar with the book of Malachi, it says the Lord is the Sun of Righteousness.
如果你对马拉基书熟的话，马拉基书第四章第二节形容我们的神为公义的日头。
God demonstrates His loving care for us by freely giving us light, heat, and energy through the sun.
那么神透过太阳白白地赐给我们阳光、热量和能量，以表明他对我们的关爱。
Sunlight also enables photosynthesis, which causes plants to grow and become food supplies for man and other forms of life.
因为太阳光可以促进光合作用，让植物生长，成为人类和其他生物食物的供应。
The regularity of daily sunrise and sunset and the rotation of the seasons as a result of the Earth's revolution around the sun demonstrate God's faithfulness and consistency in giving us time to work, to rest, to sow, and to harvest.
那么每天有规律的日出和日落，以及地球绕太阳公转而导致的季节更换，表明神的信实和他始终如一的供给我们工作、休息、播种和收获的时期。
Psalm 19 depicts the sun as a bridegroom coming out of his bridal chamber. This is to say, our Lord radiates with splendor, love, and joy.
那么诗篇十九篇将太阳描述为新郎出洞房，要说我们的主散发着光彩、爱和喜乐。
Psalm 19 also depicts the sun as a champion rejoicing to run his course. This is to say that our Lord is powerful, purposeful, and joyful.
那么诗篇十九篇也将太阳描述为如勇士欢然奔路，这就是说我们的主是蛮有能力、蛮有目的跟喜乐的。
How should we respond to God's general revelation?
那我们应该来如何启示神的普通启示呢？回应。
What can I say after receiving God's general revelation from the heavens?
那么领受了神的借着宇宙赐给我们的普通启示，我们该怎么回应呢？
One word, awesome.
一句话，可敬可畏。
What should be our response to God's general revelation?
那么我们该怎么样回应神的普通启示呢？
We should be very thankful, appreciative to God. We should offer Him praise, worship, and give Him the glory.
我们应该非常的感谢、感激神，并且向他献上我们的赞美和敬拜，并将荣耀归给他。
What are man's response to God's general revelation?
但是一般人对神普通启示是怎么回应的呢？
They do not respond to God's general revelation the way that we've just discussed.
那么大多数的人其实对神的普通启示并不是像我刚刚所描述的那样来回应。
What are their responses?
那么他们是怎么回应的呢？
Romans 1:18-23 tell us the majority's response is denial and suppression of the truth.
那么罗马书一章18-23节告诉我们，大多数的人对神的反应是否认跟抵挡真理。
God clearly lay out the evidences of his creation in heaven for man to see, making it undeniable. But instead of thanking God and giving him glory, many people turn to atheism, evolution, and idolatry.
那么神在天上创造的证据清楚地摆在人面前，让人类无法否认。但许多人非但没有感谢神和荣耀他，反而是转向了无神论、进化论跟偶像崇拜。
This caused God's wrath.
那么这就点燃了神的怒火。
We must not overlook this, because the consequences of rejecting God's general revelation is devastating.
我们绝不可以忽视这一点，因为拒绝神普遍启示的后果是毁灭性的。
Romans 1 further tells us, since men deny God and give up on God, therefore God give them up as well.
那么罗马书第一章也告诉我们说，人既然否认了神，放弃神，神也就放弃了他们。
God took off the restraint that protects man from falling further into sin.
神除去了保护人免于进一步犯罪的束缚。
Number one, God allowed them to fall into immorality and the falsehood of idol worship.
那么神呢，就任凭人在道德上堕落，在信仰上陷入虚谎，崇拜偶像。
This is what we see in our society today.
这就是我们在今天社会上看到的现象。
Pornography is rampant. People are crazy going after idols like money, fame, power, and celebrities.
人们呢开始到处色情泛滥，人们疯狂地追求金钱、名望、权力，还有这个追逐名人、偶像。
God also secondly give them up to sinful lust, which is referring to homosexuality and other sex perversions.
那么神也就任凭他们放纵可耻的情欲，这个也指同性恋和其他的性变态。
Number three, God gave them up to a depraved mind to do what they ought not do.
那么最后呢，第三就是神任凭他们存着败坏堕落的心去做那些不当的事。
A depraved mind lead people into all sorts of wickedness.And sins as described in Romans 1:28-31.
那么堕落的心会导致人呢开始陷入各种邪恶跟罪恶之中，就像是罗马书第一章28-31节所描述的。
So the consequence of rejecting God's general revelation is really terrible.
那么拒绝神普通启示的后果真的是很可怕的。
Two weeks ago.A six-year-old boy in Virginia took a gun from his mom at home. He went to school and shot his first grade teacher, almost killed her.
两个礼拜前呢，维吉尼亚州一个六岁的男孩从家里拿了他妈妈的一把枪，到学校里呢，向他一年级的老师开枪，几乎要了他的命。
This was in our local news. I suppose most of you have heard about it.
这个事情就发生在我们的社区里，我相信大家都听到了。
We were all shocked by this news.
我们都非常的震惊。
School shooting have become more and more common and frequent over the past few decades.
在过去的几十年里呢，校园枪击案变得越来越普遍跟频繁。
Everyone asks, how could this happen? What has this country become?
大家都在问怎么呢？这个国家怎么会变成这个样子呢？
Romans 1:28 have already given us the answer.
罗马书第一章二十八节已经给了我们答案。
The American schools have rejected creationism and embraced evolution. They rejected the Bible and God and the forbidden prayers.
因为美国的学校呢，拒绝了创造论，并接受进化论。他们拒绝了神和圣经，并且禁止学生祷告。
We are reaping what we sow.
我们正在收割先前所种下的。
We have to take Romans 1:28 very seriously.
我们必须非常认真地看待罗马书一章二十八节。
I preach on this matter on April 18, 2021, almost 2 years ago, and played a warning message from Pastor John McGovern.
2021年4月18号，我讲道的时候讲了一篇有跟这个事情有关的道，并且播放了约翰麦克阿瑟牧师发出的一个警告。
Let us revisit that short video again.
让我们再看一次这个短片。
I'm going to say something. You're going to have to hold on to your seat a little bit. I'm convinced, beyond doubt, that in the same sense, God has abandoned America. You can't even count how many million pornographic websites there are. When a society is abandoned by God, it operates out of its own perverse sexual passion.Without restraint. The first thing that you look for in a society, you're trying to discern whether God has abandoned that society, is whether or not that society has gone through a sexual revolution so that illicit sex, adultery, every form of immorality is accepted as normal in that society. And we're there.You know a society has been abandoned by God when it celebrates lesbian sex. So you follow a sexual revolution with a homosexual revolution. And homosexuality becomes normalized. And you look at this world and you say, rampant sexual immorality, out of control.Destroying people willy-nilly, even in the church, even in the leadership of the church. Homosexuality, same thing, rampant, out of control, demanding to be accepted as normal, and the society rushing to affirm that acceptance. Isn't there anybody in the system who would stand up and call this what it really is, a massive moral disaster?Can't they see it? Can't they figure it out? No. No. And the bottom line is that they don't like the God their reason leads them to, and they don't like the God that their innate sense of what is right and wrong leads them to. And so they abandon that God, and the lights go out.
Psalm 19, verse 7, mark a shift from what God has made.To what God has spoken.
那么诗篇十九篇第七节开始，标志着神所造的呢，移转到神所说的。
This is also a shift from God's general revelation to God's special revelation.
那么这也标志着从神的普通启示进入了神的特别启示。
General revelation leads one to know there is a God who exists and creates.
一般启示让人知道有一位创造万物的主存在着。
Special revelation, the Bible tells us what our Creator God is like.
那么特殊启示呢，是告诉我们创造万物的主是怎样的一位神。
General revelation by itself is not enough to lead a person to be saved in Christ.
普通启示一般并不足以带领一个人到耶稣基督里得救。
Jesus Christ is the ultimate form of God's special revelation. He is the incarnated word, the exact representation of God himself.
耶稣基督呢，是神特殊启示的终极形式，他是道成肉身，是神本体的真相。
Psalm 19.Offers six different descriptions of God's word, giving each perspective a name.
那么诗篇第十九篇呢，提供了六种不同的视角来看神的话语，并且为 每一种的视角来命名。
Together with this, different names are their corresponding properties and functions.
那么伴随着这些名称呢，是它们相应的性质跟功能。
The following table summarizes verse 7 to 11.
那么从第七到十一节的内容呢，就列在下面这个表格里面。
You can see in this table there are six synonym names for God's word: law, statutes, precepts, commands, fear, and ordinances.
我们可以看到下面的列了有六个名称，包含着律法、法度、训词、命令、道理跟典章。
And their nature is perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, and sure.
那每一个名称它所代表的性质，它的特质是全备、确定、正直、清洁、洁净跟真实。
And the function of the first four is first reviving the soul, making wise the simple, giving joy to the heart, and giving light to the eye.
那么他们的功能是在于，第一个是能够苏醒人心，第二能使愚人有智慧，第三能使能快活人的心，第四是能明亮人的眼目。
And then you give two descriptions of God's word, that it is enduring forever and altogether righteous.
那么最后两项呢，是他们的功能在于存到永远，然后全然公义。
This is a summary of verse 7 to verse 9.
那么这就是第七到十一节的一个概要。
Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Do we need God's special revelation? That's the question.
那么耶稣基督他是救赎主，他牺牲自己来使我们能够与神和好。那我们今天需要特殊启示吗？
We do need him to redeem us and reconcile us to God the Father.
我们真的是需要主耶稣基督来救赎我们，让我们可以跟父神和好。
Reverend Stephen Stone pointed out that today many people believe in a creator God, but they do not believe in God's redemption.
唐崇荣牧师他指出说，今天很多人相信神的存在跟创造，但是不相信神的救赎。
Psalm 19 mentions Jesus Christ.
那么诗篇十九篇有提到耶稣基督吗？
Yes.
是的。
In the last verse.
在最后一节。
In verse 14, the psalmist said, and cry out to his rock and redeemer, which is a reference to Jesus Christ.
因为第十四节，诗人向神呼求说，耶和华，我的磐石，我的救赎主。磐石和救赎主都是指着耶稣基督说的。
How should we respond to God's special revelation?
那我们要如何来回应神的特别启示呢？
The word of God leads us to the knowledge of God.
神的话让我们认识神。
The knowledge of God then leads us to the knowledge of God's holiness and our sinfulness.
那么对神的认识引导我们认识神的圣洁和我们自己的罪恶。
This produces fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom.
那么这会让我们产生对神的敬畏，成为智慧的开端。
What follows is a desire for repentance, forgiveness, and holiness.
接下来的是产生悔改、罪得赦免跟追求圣洁的渴望。
This is what we see in the ending verses of Psalm 19.
这就是我们在诗篇十九十九篇的结尾经文中所看到的。
The psalmist King David said at the end of the psalm, by them which refer to God's word, his special revelation, by them is your servant warned, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
诗人大卫在这篇诗篇的结尾说， 况且你的仆人因此受警戒， 谁能知道自己的过失呢？ 愿你赦免我隐而未现的过错， 求你拦阻仆人不犯任意妄为的罪， 不容这罪辖制我， 我便完全免犯大罪。 耶和华我的磐石， 我的救赎主啊， 愿我口中的言语， 心里的意念， 在你面前蒙悦纳。
Well, I noticed in this psalm, King David said he prayed that God prevent him from willful sin, that it will not rule over him.
我注意到大卫呢， 诗人大卫在这篇, 结尾的时候说, 要拦阻他不犯任意妄为的罪, 不容这个罪辖制他。
He's talking about restraining him from committing sin.
他在讲的是说, 要能够辖制他不去犯罪。
Remember, we talk about in Romans 1, because people gave up God, so God gave them up and removed the restraint that protect them from falling further into sin.
刚刚我们提到说，在罗马书一章提到说，因为人离弃神，神也就不再管他们了，让他们去任意的堕落犯罪。
This is what he's saying.
那么这也就是大卫说的，要他自己祈求被管、被辖制，不再犯罪。
How can we apply Psalm 19 to our life?
那么我们要如何应用诗篇十九篇在我们自己的生活上呢？
Back in the old days, many great scientists were spectators of the universe, such as Isaac Newton, Johannes Kepler, and Albert Einstein, just to name a few.
那么在过去很多伟大的科学家都是宇宙的观察者， 我只举几个例子， 譬如牛顿、开普勒和爱因斯坦。
Through their observation of God's creation, they received God's revelation and made great discoveries in science.
他们通过观察神的创造， 得到神的启示， 在科学上有重大发现。
Nowadays, very few people look into the sky, except the astronomers.
现在很少有人仰望天空， 除了天文学家。
It seems that everyone is looking down on their cell phones or on their computer screens.
几乎每一个人都是在低头看手机或是电脑的屏幕。
The star people are going after today are celebrities in movie, music, sports, and politics.
今天人们所追逐的明星偶像呢， 是在电影里面， 音乐界, 体育界跟政治界有名的人。
I was born again in the spring of 1968.
我是在1968年春天重生的。
I cannot pinpoint the day, but I know my life was changed around that time.
虽然呢，我无法确定当时具体的日期， 但我非常的确定就是知道我自己的生命被改变了。
My born again experience was not tied to a single event, but to a number of things and events.
我重生的经历并不是只有单一事件有关， 而是跟很多的事情跟事件相关联的。
Two of those things that produced that change without my notice were personal Bible reading and looking up the sky.
那么我当时没有注意到的情况下， 有产生的这种变化， 跟两件事情是有关的， 一个是我个人的读经经历， 另外一个就是我经常仰望天空。
I developed a habit of reading the Bible in the evening on the rooftop of my school dormitory in those days.
我在那个时候呢， 养成了在学校宿舍的顶楼， 一边读圣经， 然后, 看天空。
I remember I was reading the book of Romans, though I understand very little of what it says, but I felt good and satisfied reading it.
我记得呢，那个时候我是在读罗马书，虽然我不太懂他说的是什么，但读后感觉很好，很满足。
After nightfall, I would look up the moon and the stars in the sky and immerse myself in the greatness of God's creation.
那么入夜以后呢，我就开始仰望天上的月亮跟星宿，感受到神创造的伟大。
In retrospect, I was exposing myself to the general and special revelations of God, though I had no idea what they were.
那么我现在回想起来呢，当时我就是让自己能够接触到神的普通启示跟他的特殊启示，虽然那个时候我也不知道他们是什么。
God surely worked through His revelation and changed my life.
神确实是通过他的启示工作改变了我的生命。
May God also change the lives of each of us through His revelation.
那么也愿神透过他的启示改变我们每一个人的生命。
This ends my sermon today.
那么今天的讲道就到此结束。
Not quite.
那还没结束。
You know, it seems that God always give me a picture and a song with every message I preach.
你知道每次我讲到的时候，神都给我一个启示，会赐给我一首歌。
And today's song is from Psalm 19. It says, "Glorify God."
那么今天的神赐给我的这首歌呢，就是来自于诗篇第十九篇，来歌颂神的荣耀。
Even though it is a Cantonese song, but the lyric is there, and most of you can understand it.
那么虽然这是一首粤语歌，但是呢，音乐节奏很清楚，大部分你们，我相信你们都可以明白它的意思。
Let's enjoy it.
那么让我们大家一起来欣赏。
全众于诸天苍穹，尘世知识，朝晚亦无间断，没有言语，人亦听不到。直到全地，这声音却响遍，全能上帝，天空中设立太阳，全地万有都因他得温暖，无言无声，彰显创造主。速度要荣耀你，律法传递，愚昧的因他聪明，凭藉法则，主苏醒每颗心，道理典章，存着不朽的光。手可得到你赏赐，谁能知道他一生所付？